It is a joy to be here. We've had a wonderful day. It's been wonderful being here. I just want to take this opportunity right now to thank you so much for your hospitality, your generosity towards us in the hotel room. It's very beautiful there in Keokuk. And thank you so much for that, preacher and church. And thank you for the meal last night and for Brother Marvin for the meal this afternoon. We appreciate it so much. It's been a joy to be here. I remember being here at the old building in 2004, and it's just a blessing to see some familiar faces and to be here with you again. But this evening, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 17 this evening. Back in the back table, we have our display. And back there, there are many different things that you would find there in Brazil, some pictures as well. But back on the back, the most important thing that we have is our prayer card. And if you have not had an opportunity to stop by and get a prayer card, or if our son hasn't given you a prayer card, he might have tried to give you two or three already. But please stop by and get a prayer card and pray for us as we go. We covet your prayers. We are halfway there. We're at 49%, so I'm saying we're halfway there. And we're so excited about what this year holds in store for the ministry to go there to the Amazon, and we're looking forward to getting there. As preacher said, we know that's where the Lord wants us to be, and we're anxious about getting there, but we know the Lord has His timing. He has lessons He wants us to learn here on deputation, and that's why we have deputation. It's a ministry, and this is our ministry right now. We praise the Lord for that, but please pray for us as we travel this year. Pray for our safety as we travel, and pray that we'll be able to, as preacher said, finish up this year and get that last 50% raise this year, and be able to get to the field by January of 2012. But here in Matthew chapter 17, a story about Jesus and the disciples and a miracle that the Lord did. And growing up in a Christian home, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I had the opportunity growing up in a Christian home. And growing up in a Christian home in a great church, I had the opportunity of hearing many great men of God come through and preach. And every time they would preach, I'd be sitting there in the pew, and Dr. Ron Garris would come by, I got to hear Dr. Lee Robertson preach one time, and sitting there with Dr. Jim Vineyard and many, many other preachers that would come through our youth conferences and going to teen camp. And you hear all these preachers and all the testimonies that they give of how the Lord has used them in their ministry. And I would sit there in my pew and I would ask myself, could that ever happen to me? Could the Lord ever use me? And then after graduation, going up there to Bible Baptist, being underneath Brother Stark and seeing him and wondering, could the Lord ever use me like He's using Brother Stark for 40 years, being a pastor for 40 years? Could the Lord ever use me like that? And I was reading one day here in Matthew chapter 17, and we'll start in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." In verse number 19, the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us this evening, Lord, to come together as friends and family, Lord, underneath the hearing of your word. Lord, thank you so much for the freedom that you've given us this evening. Lord, please help us as we look into this passage of Scripture. Lord, help us to, intently listen. Lord, help us remove everything from our hearts and from our minds that would keep us from hearing what you'd have for us this evening. Lord, please remove the distractions. Lord, as I preach, help me not to be a distraction. Lord, help me to be your messenger this evening. Lord, help me to say what you'd have me to say. Bless this time that we have now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to look at Matthew chapter 10, the Lord is sending His disciples out in Matthew chapter 10. In verses 5 through 8, He's sending them out and He says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." In Matthew chapter 10, He sent His disciples out and He gave them the power and the authority to perform the miracles He had been performing. He told them to go and preach the gospel. He told them to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. He told them that freely ye have received, now freely give. We come here to Matthew chapter 17, and a father with faith comes to his disciples for them to heal his son. But they could not. So he brings them to Jesus with the same faith, and the Lord heals his son that day. But here in Matthew chapter 17, it was the Lord's will to use His disciples to perform this miracle, I believe. I believe that they had the power, they had the authority, but the Bible says because of their unbelief, they could not do this miracle. The disciples, as we see, are very ordinary men. If we were to study the disciples out, and the Lord started His ministry, and He went to all these men, and He called them forth to follow Him. He called Peter and Andrew from fishing, and they followed Him from their fishing business. They left it all and started following Jesus. These men are young Christians. These men are men that are desiring to follow the Lord. They were just ordinary men like you and I are. But the Lord desires to do the extraordinary through the ordinary. Here in Matthew chapter 17, He wanted to do the extraordinary through the ordinary. But because of their unbelief, He could not. And as growing up, hearing Dr. Garris preach and seeing the life of Dr. Vineyard and seeing the life of Brother Stark and seeing the life of Brother Dietrich and all these great men of God that are serving the Lord, the Lord's working through them. They're just ordinary men. The people in our churches that are serving the Lord are ordinary people, but the Lord desires to do the extraordinary with the ordinary. That's what He wants to do. It is not impossible to see God do the extraordinary with the ordinary. It's not impossible. He can use you and me. I'm an ordinary young man, but it is my heart's desire to go to the Amazon and see the Lord do something great and mighty there in the Amazon basin. Seeing one soul saved is an extraordinary thing. Seeing one soul saved is a miracle in itself, and it's just a blessing to be able to be a part of that. And it's my heart's desire to see God do something great there in the Amazon, but He wants to use an ordinary man, an ordinary family, to do the extraordinary. How can we live our lives? How can we be in the place where many people in the Bible will see examples tonight of where they were at, of how God can use just ordinary people to do extraordinary things? We'll see the first example in Daniel chapter 3. If you were to turn to Daniel chapter 3, how can we today see God do the extraordinary through us? Here in Wayland, Missouri, here in northern part of Missouri, the Lord wants to do something great in this area, and He wants to use you as His vessels to do the extraordinary. But will we allow Him to work through us? Here in Daniel chapter 3, we see a very familiar portion of Scripture. Nebuchadnezzar builds this great image, and he commands everybody that when you hear the orchestra play, everybody must bow down and worship this image which I have made. So the orchestra starts playing, and Nebuchadnezzar is watching the entire country, the entire nation of Babylon. They're there, and they start bowing down, and he's excited to see that the people are obeying Him. But off in the distance, he sees three figures that are standing up. And in verse number 13, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was furious. He had steam coming out of his ears. He was red. He was furious. And he commanded those three to be brought up to him. And he tells them in the last part of verse number 15, "If you bow down and worship the image which I have made, well, But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And we know the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar heats the furnace 7 times more than it was supposed to be heated. He throws them into the fire. And then he looks in the fire and he says, did not we cast 3 men in the fire? Yet I see 4, and the fourth is like the Son of God. And he calls them out of the fire, and he's looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How did this happen? Not a hair was singed. Not a piece of clothing was burned. Not even a scent of smoke was on their person. I have an uncle that smokes. We're in there for 5 seconds and I smell like smoke. But these young men were in that fire, and the Lord did a great and mighty thing through these young men. But why did He use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were 3 young men that were taken away from their home. Israelites, taken away from their home country, taken away from their moms and their dads, taken away from everything that they knew into a foreign country. Taken away from everything. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only 3 Israelite young people that were there that day. Where were all the other young people? They were bowing down to the image. The reason I believe the Lord used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on this day is because they stood up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, we will not serve thy God. We will not bow down to this image which thou hast set up. And he says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But I believe the Lord delivered them because of verse number 18. They said, but if not. But if not, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not going to bow. If he sees fit not to deliver us today, we still will not bow. They stood up for what was right. If we want to see God work through us and with us in our day to day, we need to stand up for what is right. We need to stand up for God's Word. We need to stand up for our God, our Savior who died for us. We need to stand up for what is right. Everybody knows where we stand when it comes to politics. Everybody knows where we stand when it comes to sports. Our favorite football teams or basketball teams or whatnot. Everybody knows where we stand when it comes where to shop, where not to shop. You know, you need to stay away from that place, but go to that place. Everybody knows where we stand when it comes to all these different things. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to this Word, when it comes to standing up for what is right, do they know where you stand? Or do we hide in the shadows? Well, I don't want to be called a fanatic. I don't want to be called Billy Bible Thumper. I don't want to push anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. Are we standing up for what is right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were young people. Their knees had to be knocking home sweet home and Yankee Doodle at the same time. Standing up in front of a king that could kill them with the snap of his fingers. But they said, we will not bow. We will not bow. They stood up. If we want to see God do the great and mighty through us, we need to stand up. When we go to Brazil, we're going to have to stand up for what is right. We're going to have to stand up because there's going to be opposition. No matter where you go, whether it's Brazil, whether it's here in Wayland, whether it's in Africa, wherever you go, there's going to be that opposition. And you're going to have to stand up for what's right. There's going to be those that are going to want you to compromise, but you're going to have to stand up for what is right. There's going to be the family members that want you to compromise. There's going to be friends that want you to compromise. There's going to be people in your life that's going to want you to compromise. But are you standing up for what is right? Are you where God can use you to do the great and mighty through you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were because they stood up. They stood up for what was right. If we want to see God do the great and mighty, the extraordinary with the ordinary, we need to stand up. Not only that, in 2 Kings chapter 2, we see another example. Another example of how the Lord did the extraordinary through the ordinary. In 2 Kings chapter 2, In 2 Kings chapter 2, we see Elisha, who is pouring water on Elijah's hands. Elisha is a young man that was just, he was just an ordinary young man that was plowing the fields. He was working for his father in the fields. And Elijah comes by and the Lord calls Elisha to follow Elijah and to pour water on Elijah's hand and to be his servant and to help him in the ministry. And here in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah's getting close to being taken away up into heaven by the whirlwind. And here in 2 Kings 2, verse number 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. In verse number 4, Elijah tells Elisha the same thing. He says, "Tarry here because the Lord's called me to go forth to Jericho." And again, Elisha tells Elijah, "I will not leave thee." In verse number 6, Elijah said it again, "Tarry here for the Lord's called me to go to Jordan." But once again, Elisha said, "I will not leave thee." And in verse number 9, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And if you were to read the book of 2 Kings, the Lord did great and mighty things through the life of Elisha. Why did the Lord use Elisha? Because Elisha stayed in. Elisha said, "I will not leave thee, Elijah. Elijah, I'm going to stay by your side." And if you're to read verse number 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder." Elisha was so close to the man of God, the chariot had to part him when he came. He stayed in. When I think about Elisha, I think about Elisha who poured water on Elijah's hands. And then my mind goes to Gehazi. Gehazi was a young man that poured water on Elisha's hands. He was Elisha's servant. He was there to help Elisha in the ministry. And I think to myself, could Gehazi have gotten a double portion of Elisha's spirit? Could he have? But Gehazi didn't stay in. Gehazi let greed take him out of the ministry. Gehazi let greed take him out of the will of God. What's going to take you out of the ministry? What's going to take you out of the will of God? What's going to take you out of church? What is it going to take you out? Or are you going to stay in? The Lord used Elijah because he stayed in. He stayed close to the man of God. Young people, it's imperative to stay close to your mom and dad. It's imperative to stay close to your pastor. Stay close to the man of God. Stay close and stay in. The first thing we want to do when trouble comes is to miss Wednesday night church. And then it becomes Sunday night church. And then it becomes Sunday morning. And all of a sudden we're out 3 or 4 weeks. We're out of 2 months. And we just don't know what happened. But if we want to see God work through us, and do the extraordinary with the ordinary, we need to stay in. There are so many churches that are closing their doors because folks aren't staying in. There are so many mission fields that are losing missionaries because missionaries aren't staying in. There are churches that are losing pastors and youth pastors and assistant pastors because folks are not staying in. We have to stay in. Times are going to get tough, but we have to stay in. Are you staying in? If we want to see God do the extraordinary, we need to stand up. We need to stay in. And then thirdly, if you're to look at Matthew chapter 14, when I think of an ordinary man, my mind immediately goes to Peter. Peter was just like you and I, or at least he was just like me. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. Man, Peter was always in the forefront. Wherever the Lord was, you knew where Peter was at. And Peter was just like us. But Peter was an ordinary man. But Peter, the Lord worked great and mighty things through the life of Peter. He did the extraordinary through Peter. And here in Matthew chapter 14, we see the Lord doing the extraordinary with the ordinary through the life of Peter. In verse number 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. Now, if I was Peter, that it would have probably stopped right there. I would have said, Whoa, Lord, whoa. I really didn't mean that. I'm all right here on the boat. But Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter walked on the water. I don't know about you, but I've never walked on water. I've tried. I've stepped out. My grandma has a pool, and I stepped out to try to walk on water, and I just sunk. Man, I can't even float. Sarah's been trying to teach me to float. I can't even float. But Peter walked on water. He walked on water. The Lord did the extraordinary through the life of Peter. Why? Because Peter stepped out. Peter stepped out. Like I said, Peter could have said, Well, Lord, that was just an emotional decision. Lord, I'm okay here on the boat. I'm all right where I'm at right now. Lord, that's okay. But Peter stepped out. You'll never know what God could do with you. You'll never know what God could do through your life until you step out and see what God could do. As I said in Sunday school, when the Lord was calling us to the Amazon, to Brazil, I said, Lord, there is no way. I said, Lord, it's impossible with the city slicker. There's just no way. But you'll never know what God could do through your life until you step out. I never thought I would enjoy the river. I'm not a guy that likes water. I don't like water. I'm all right on the land. But I enjoyed it there in the Amazon. I love the jungle. I love the water. I love the area. I never knew I would love an area like that, but you'll never know what God could do through your life until you step out. Step out. What does the Lord want you to do here at First Baptist Church? Is there a ministry He wants you to fill? Is there a spot? The Bible says that the Lord is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Is there a gap that you need to fill here at First Baptist Church? Is there a gap that He wants you to fill, but you haven't stepped out yet? You'll never know what God could do until you step out. Sometimes we think that being a Sunday school teacher isn't that extraordinary. But some of the sweetest folks, some of my fondest memories are my first grade, second grade, third grade Sunday school teachers. Those that taught me the Bible stories of Daniel. Those that taught me the Bible stories of David and Goliath and of Jonah. And it's exciting to me to see my son growing up in church and him coming home and talking about David and Goliath and talking about Jesus calming the sea and talking about all these things that I learned in Sunday school. It's extraordinary to be in a ministry like that, but are you letting God use you? The extraordinary through the ordinary. We need to step out. We need to step out. We need to stay in. And we need to stand up. But lastly, and I'll be done, here in Romans chapter 15, Paul, what an ordinary man the Lord used in a great and mighty way. Paul was a murderer before he got saved. Paul was a Christian that was saved later on in life. My father-in-law was saved in his 30s, and who knows, maybe Paul was saved in his 30s. We don't know exactly when, but it was later on in his life. But Paul, what an ordinary man the Lord used in a great and mighty way. When I think about Lord doing great things, I love the story of Paul. And growing up, especially when I was in college and I knew the Lord wanted me to be a missionary, I said, man, I want the Lord to use me like He used Paul. And then we were sitting at a missions conference while we were first year of deputation. And I was still thinking, man, I want the Lord to use me like He used Paul. And a preacher said, you know, we always say we want the Lord to use us like He used Paul. But are we willing to go through what Paul went through so that the Lord could use us like He used Paul? And I sat back and I said, maybe I don't want the Lord to use me like He used Paul. Am I willing to go through what Paul went through to be used in such a great way? Paul was used by the Lord. In Romans chapter 15, Last part of verse number 19, Paul says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Each and every day, the Bible says, Paul said, I die daily. Each and every day, he would strive to follow the Lord. He would strive to be in God's will. He would strive to preach the gospel wherever he was. Why would he use the word strive? Because it's a struggle. It's a struggle between our spirit and our flesh. Which one are we going to give into? Are we going to let the Spirit lead us? Or are we going to give into our flesh? It's striving. It's a struggle. The Christian life is a struggle of serving the Lord. He said, I have strived to preach the gospel. We see that Paul strove through. And that's what we have to do. We have to strive through. We have to strive through the hard times, strive through the valleys, strive through the difficulties, strive through the trials and the tests. If we strive through and keep going and not quit, the Lord can do great and mighty things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 7, the Bible says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse number 10, what a great verse this is. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I ask myself all the time, can I live verse number 10? Am I where I could live verse number 10? Do I take pleasure in the infirmities that come my way? Do I take pleasure in the reproaches, in the necessities, in the persecutions, in the distresses for Christ's sake? Am I there? Not yet. But that's where Paul was. And the Lord used him in a great and mighty way. But how did Paul get to that point? He kept striving through. He kept going. He kept serving the Lord. He didn't quit. A teacher of mine there in college would say, stick, stay, and make it pay. Stick, stay, and make it pay. Don't quit. Strive through. The trials that the Lord puts us through are not there to destroy us. The tests are not there to discourage us. They're not there to beat us down. They're there to build us up. Each and every trial and test the Lord puts in our life is to make us a stronger Christian. It's to make us more like Him. It's to build me up. But we have to strive through. Strive through. I take pleasure in infirmities. And then Paul came when he came to the end of his life there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul was able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I finished. I kept striving through. I kept going. And praise the Lord, look at what God was able to do. All the great and mighty things the Lord did through the life of Paul because he kept striving through the hard times. When I come to the end of my life, will I be able to be like Paul and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. If I quit, I will not be able to do that. When I was in high school, our coaches would always say in football and in basketball, leave it out on the field. Leave it out all out on the basketball court so that when you get done, you can say, I'm glad I did. Instead of, I wish I had. Because they would always say, whenever you graduate from high school, you're always going to look back on high school memories, on the basketball games, the football games. And it is so true when you get together with old friends. That's what comes up. My wife tells me something, and a week later, I don't remember that. But I can remember back in 2000, 2001, and 2002, almost every play from almost every football game I've ever played. It's unbelievable how I remember that. But I don't remember what Sarah said a week ago. But I look back, and it's so true. There are times where I say, I wish I had. And then there are times that I say, man, I'm glad I did. And that's just in sports. But when it comes to our life, when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to being in the will of God, no matter where you are, no matter what the Lord wants you to do, young people, no matter what God wants you to do, the will of God is the best place to be. It's the best place to be. You know, when growing up, I'd always, when especially missionaries would say, you need to do the will of God, you need to surrender to the Lord, my mind would go to the Amazon. It would go to the extreme, man, living in the Amazon or living in deepest, darkest Africa or living in India or in China. But not everybody goes there. Maybe the Lord wants you to be here, a Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church. Maybe He wants you to be a pastor or a pastor's wife. Who knows what the Lord wants you to do, but you'll never know until you step out and get in the Lord's will. And then stay in the Lord's will. And then keep striving through and finish what God has for you. So you can look back on your life and say, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I stayed in. I'm glad I stood up for the Lord. I'm glad I stepped out and let the Lord use me. I'm glad I kept striving through and didn't quit. And I'm just an ordinary man, but the Lord was able to work in great and mighty ways. And I love listening to Brother Stark preach. 40 years of experience, 40 years of stories of great things God has done through his ministry. And he says, and he stands up there and he preaches, and Brother Dietrich, he's a long preacher too. He's got stories, and he just tells all sorts of stories. But it's wonderful. Because Brother Stark's an ordinary man. But God has done the extraordinary through Brother Stark because he stood up. He stayed in. He stepped out. He strived through. And you listen to the stories and you're like, man, wow, those are... Will the Lord ever do that? Could He ever do that through me? And young people, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, no matter how young we are, how old we are, the Lord wants to use you. The extraordinary through the ordinary. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given us this evening, Lord, to look at this passage of Scripture and learn a lesson that the disciples learned that day. Lord, that You want to use us. You desire to use us in Your ministry. But Lord, so many times we're not used because of our unbelief. We don't stand up for You. We don't stay in. We don't step out. And Lord, we don't strive through because of our unbelief. Lord, help us this evening, no matter where we're at in our life, whether we're a young person, Lord, whether we're a mom or dad or a grandma or grandpa, Lord, help us, Lord, today to start living our lives so that You can do the extraordinary with the ordinary. Lord, help us to respond to Your word as You'd have us to, in Jesus' name.